Well, it's just about RV show season. Just around the corner is the Florida RV Super Show in Tampa. We'll be there. And today on the show, we have Dave Kelly, the executive director of the Florida RV Trade Association, who runs the Super Show, to talk about the show and its history and what to expect. And we're going to talk about RV shows in general as people prepare for the season. This is RV Miles. Chances are you've seen them on the road. That's because Blue Ox designs and manufactures the best towing products in the industry. Just look around. You'll find them on highways and campgrounds and anywhere you find people traveling in the great outdoors. From award-winning tow bars and base plates to a full line of weight distribution hitches, adjustable ball mounts, and now they have fifth wheel hitches too. With Blue Ox, towing doesn't have to be a drag. Visit blueox.com for more information. Ever feel like finding the right RV part is like searching for a needle in a haystack? Enter eTrailer.com. Whether you're puzzled about which product is right for you or how to install it, eTrailer has got you covered. Their U.S.-based customer service is available by chat or phone 7 days a week, and with expert Q&As, helpful articles, and tons of reviews and install videos, you'll tackle any RV problem with confidence. eTrailer strives to get their hands on everything they sell, and their website is full of overviews, reviews, buying guides, and tutorials. And it's not just RV parts, it's towing and vehicle accessories, camping supplies, and more. Head to the link in the description and get free shipping on orders over $99. Welcome to episode number 389 of RV Miles. I'm Jason.
And I'm Abby, and we are two RVers who, along with our three boys, Jack, Ethan, and Henry, have been crisscrossing North America on one epic road trip since 2016. Here at RV Miles, we talk all things RV and outdoors, from industry news to RV show season, travel destinations, our national parks, and so much more.
We've got a couple warm cups of coffee with us today because the heat is not working in the studio here. Which is the first problem that we've had in almost 2 years of owning this space. First real issue is the heat, the breakers tripping, and I got to figure out why. I've kind of troubleshot it, and I actually think it's the breakers that's the issue, but regardless, it's not working, so we're a little chilly right now.
It's a brisk 60 degrees in here right now.
Which isn't terrible.
Just awful. I did, for those of you watching and for those of you listening, I did go down the street to this charming boutique that's run by two sisters. It's called Brick and Motor because they have a brick location, and then they have a cute little boutique on wheels that they take to farmers markets and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's right up our alley.
It's right up my alley. And so I went in there actually to look for like a little housewarming thank you for hosting gift for my sister-in-law for Christmas, and found plenty of things for me, including this very warm green cardigan that I'm currently wearing in order to keep myself warm in here. Because
just had to stop recording though because you got it snagged on your on one of your bracelets.
I'm trying to keep my hands out here. I'm trying not to move my hands, which, again, if you've met me, you know is very difficult. I'm a hand talker. Yeah. So
yeah, when you get like, when you're talking about like an uncomfortable subject on the podcast, you like straighten your bracelets like perfectly.
Fidget. Remember the longest time when I used to have the habit of cleaning off the imaginary dust on the desk?
Yes, yes.
Or on the picnic tables? I was always brushing picnic tables when we would be recording, and I'd just be cleaning them.
When I was editing the video I just put out on the RV Miles channel, the sort of roundup of questions and comments for the last month, I noticed that I was just constantly adjusting my glasses and adjusting the microphone. Over and over. So I pinned a comment like, please ignore my ridiculous fidgeting, because people in the passive comment, because those videos, that one video that I do once a month, is the one that I do generally, and then maybe there's a few other ones that is not scripted. You know, the rest of them are all scripted. Of course, these are not scripted, and I'm just chatting with you. And that's,
is definitely not scripted.
I'm much more comfortable with you, but when I'm just on my own talking to the camera, I'm way uncomfortable. So I've gotten lots of comments in the past, like telling me how to like go back and get my glasses adjusted. And so there's nothing wrong with the way my glasses are adjusted. I just like to adjust them as it's a fidget. It's a thing. So I'm trying not to to do that.
And my guess is you were talking about something that you were a little nervous about.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in the Fresh Tank Black Tank. I have been told I'm not allowed to.
Oh, Jason.
Make coffee slurping noises.
Here. Don't. No one is here for your ASMR coffee drinking. I'm going to sit. He has to physically remove himself from the mic. But it is nice, actually, to be able to sit down with a cup of coffee. We're doing this late afternoon on Friday. We were supposed to be doing this way earlier today, but
It's been a day.
Besides my little shopping spree that I went in for one thing and definitely left for a lot more than that. Because when you start having a BOGO sale, you've got me. I will BOGO that all day long. And there was a BOGO sale. Buy one, get one.
Well,
free. Just like buy one, get one 50%. It was buy one, get one free. And then I got a free pair of sunglasses because I had spent X amount of money. So I got a free pair of sunglasses to go with it. So I'll be rocking those in Florida next month, which I'm very excited about because we're not seeing sun here. We haven't seen sun.
There's been a couple. You always say that about the winter. Mm-mm. You always say that about the winter. And it was a very sunny the other day.
What day?
It was super bright.
A day
sunny.
Ending in Y, right?
2 days ago.
I think I call
Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
I will point out the sunny days to you from now on.
Okay. Thank you. Wow. Well, speaking of sunny days ahead, we are headed, as we alluded to just a second ago, we're headed to Florida for the Florida RV Super Show taking place in Tampa beginning on, I believe, January 15th. 14th?
Something like that. Dave's got all the details in the interview. I interviewed Dave this morning, which was part of our day because I scheduled it for 10 Eastern, thinking that meant 11 o'clock for me. I do this every time, which meant 9 o'clock for me. Which I was supposed to take Jack. So there's a whole thing. Jack to school and then Abby had to. Anyway. All the details about the dates and everything are in the interview and how to visit the show. And so that's all coming up.
But we're going to be there. And I get it confused because we're actually arriving 2 days before the show starts because there's the media day that happens on the Tuesday before the show. And then this year, the Florida RV Super Show is also having kind of a media mingle. I'm sure they call it something else, but that's on Monday night. And this is great. I'm very excited they're doing this because they're bringing everybody together, those of us in the media, as well as those who will have booths at the show, to kind of get an idea of what we need to look for on media day.
Yeah, it's a real tough thing for us on that Tuesday media day is the day we try to get as much content done as possible for a few reasons. One, there's no music pumping through the fairgrounds and music in the background, brings up copyright strikes on YouTube videos and all that stuff. And two, there's no general public there. So we're not waiting in line to get into RVs and bothering other people with cameras and stuff in the way. We don't get it all done on Tuesday. We end up having to do stuff throughout the week and things get announced throughout the week too. So it doesn't always stay the same, but that Tuesday is a real nice day for us to sort of at least get a good idea. But a lot of it involves us sort of running around the show trying to find what we like.
Yeah.
And that's hard. If the more we know in advance, the better, because this show is so big that it is very hard to do. You can't do it in a day. If you want to see, nobody wants to see every RV. That would be,
I don't know. I have that goal. I'm the type of person that, goes to a museum. Well, and if I don't see everything in the museum, I feel like it stresses me out. So yes, I want to see everything.
There are some brands where I can just see the one. I don't need to see all the different floor plans
right? I mean,
that sort of thing.
But you and Dave go into some of the logistics
about
how the show is put together, right?
Yeah, it's incredible. They wash every RV. The way they sort of bring them all in. But what people don't realize, because it's a manufacturer show, most RV shows, it's just the local dealers bringing the units in. But at a manufacturer-run show, there's that. But then also, the manufacturers are having stuff sent from Indiana. So, the number of transporters that are taking a rig all the way to Florida. Usually
in
those
January,
rigs,
too, from Indiana. That's something.
Most of those stay in Florida. They're there to be sold. And if they don't get sold, they'll end up at a dealer. So, it was something that would have happened anyway. but it's still really impressive. Dave says in the interview, and again, I don't want to
give it all away.
He says that, you know, they start staging rigs at the fairgrounds a month in advance.
Oh, so, wow.
So okay. It's a big production, and I hope you stick around for that interview. So we're going
to
be there.
I'll have to listen.
We'll be there on the general public days, Wednesday and Thursday. Mm-hmm. We don't have any official sort of meet and greet sort of thing. We'll probably put out a couple times that we'll be specifically at the Sabre 37 RV Miles, which will be there.
Yay!
So we'll be hanging out with the folks at Sabre for a little bit, but then, you know, if you're around and about, we'd love to see it and say hi. We will also be going at the end of the month to another great RV show, the Kansas City RV Show, which is, it's great right downtown Kansas City at Bartle Hall. Indoors.
So
it's not Florida, but it is entirely indoors.
Yes, we're very excited. We're returning to my hometown. Again, we did this a couple of years ago with the show. We are only going to be there, though. It is the last weekend in January, and we are only going to be there on that Saturday due to restraints of travel with kids in school and activities. So we have to drive down on a Friday. We will be at the show, though, all day on Saturday. We're giving 4 seminars, and then we're going to have a little get-together meet and greet over at the 37 RV Miles, which will be there at that show as well. So we are going to be there all day on Saturday. But what's also really great about the Kansas City RV Show is that our friend Brooks from RV Out West, the podcast RV Out West,
and of course, also
the See America host of the last season. If you haven't listened to that, you should go. He did 10 awesome episodes of See America. Well, he's going to be there all weekend doing seminars. So he is such a wealth of knowledge, especially for anyone who's considering traveling to the Pacific Northwest. You need to listen to his podcast. He is such a wealth of information and camping locations and what to do out there. He loves the Pacific Northwest. So he's going to be there doing seminars as well. So it's going to be really great to see him. And so you've just got a whole weekend. They've got such a good lineup. They're doing such a great job with this show. And it's in such a good location that they're really primed to be kind of like the Midwest version of these larger shows. Like,
yeah.
Bartle Hall is enormous.
Yeah,
and there's so much space for them to expand and grow in there. And I would love to see this show kind of become something for the Midwesterners who can't make it down to Tampa or who can't make it out to Hershey.
Yeah, you know, we sort need of like something the, yeah. for us that's that size. And they're definitely growing towards that. It's definitely nowhere near the size of those other two shows. Nothing else is. But it's, you know, it's on its way there, and we really enjoyed it. You're not going to see, a ton of motorhomes at the Kansas City show.
There'll be some,
but that, you know, that's something that's common at a lot of the regional shows. There's most of the main brands are represented, and there's usually brand reps. It's one that's big enough that a lot of manufacturer reps still go mm-hmm. to, because even though it's not a manufacturer run show, it's just big enough that they'll fly reps out to be able to talk about stuff.
I mean, last time we were there, Shirley from
our good Sabre, friend Shirley at Sabre,
who will actually be on next week's
episode along with Sydney from Sabre.
Yes. Our
good friends Sydney and Shirley from Sabre.
I do love Sydney.
Which I, when we recorded that intro, I stumbled over that like 6 times. Shirley and Sydney from sales at Sabre.
Did Sydney have an iced coffee with
her? No. Because she always does.
She always needs to have an iced coffee.
So that'll be next week. But before we get into the interview here with Dave, I do want to just sort of share a few of our tips for RV show visitation. We've done whole episodes on this in the past, but just some quick things to think about if you're thinking about heading to an RV show. First and foremost, any RV show, whether it is outdoors or indoors, is going to be hard on your feet. And it's something that you want to wear some comfortable shoes for.
Yeah, you're not at these shows to be a fashion icon. Okay, you want to be comfy. You're going to be walking around all day. And with that said, to make sure you don't have to take extra steps, get yourself a map or get yourself familiar with the layout, like on, put it on your phone. So have an idea of where you want to go so that you're not wandering around. Now, if you're there to just wander around, then just let the show take you where the show's going to take you. But if you're really specifically interested in seeing a particular model or a particular brand, do yourself a favor and figure out where that is and go and get that done so that, you know, you've got those fresh feet and you're not exhausted and your brain is still functioning. Because after a while, your brain does start to shut down when you've seen so many floor plans.
They start to blend together, and the up and down of the stairs, even for somebody with good knees and feet, starts to be a little annoying. So if you get a good idea of what a rig is before you go into it, you know, say you have no interest in bunkhouses. I can't tell you how many times we've been in a bunkhouse and somebody walks in, they look around, they're like, oh, it's a bunkhouse. Well, you didn't ever have to even walk up those stairs. You could have looked at, usually they put on the outside somewhere is a floor plan image you can look at. I also, I've gotten really good at just peeking my whole head in, my whole upper body in, and taking a look around and deciding if it's worth the stair climb.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, get a map and understand where things are, because unfortunately, I think what people would love and what would be great, but it's just impossible to do, is that if all the motorhomes together were together and all the you know, couples fifth wheels, all the bunkhouses, all the toy haulers, if they were all individually together, but it doesn't work that way. They're usually separated by
brand,
dealership, and then by brand.
Yeah, the brands aren't going to play nice with one another like that. That's just not going
to
happen.
The dealers have to stay in their own little area. Yeah. And usually each show has got one dealer dealing with a specific brand. They're not going to necessarily have, you know, two dealers dealing with Keystone or something like that. No. So that stuff is all going to be together. And that's just the way it is. At the Florida show, it is very much together by brand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there is some stuff that if you're in the zoo of one brand, you can sort of, they've got it organized well, I think, usually between the different types, but then you're going to have to walk all the way across at the giant fairgrounds to get to something else. Yeah. So it is really worthwhile to get online, download that map. Florida RV Show has an app, and know it, you know, go through some of the brands online, look at the stuff, get an idea of what you want to go find. And then when you get there, you can sort of take a lap around, get an idea of the layout, and then sort of dive into the different areas and just don't overdo it, because you get the brain fog of, I don't even remember what floor plan was. Take photos. If you like something, if you really want to remember something, get your phone out and take a photo of it.
Take a photo of the floor plan on the outside of the rig. That's usually my advice, so that you've got not only the floor plan, but then you have the brand name, the manufacturer name, and then you have the name of that particular rig. So you've got everything in that one picture right there.
That's how also we create content for the shows when we're going around to different rigs. The first thing, and I screw it up all the time, but the first thing I have to do is get a shot of that floor plan.
Yeah. Or we will not.
So I know that all of the things that follow in the camera roll are from that rig.
So another thing, and again, we will link in the description for this episode our past episodes we've done that really break down, like, you know, tips for visiting an RV show. But one more thing I want to mention before we move to the interview is to not forget our vendor friends that are there. Now, you might be saying, oh, Abby, I don't need knives and I don't need gutters. And that's all fine and well, and I understand that. But I would also encourage you that over the years, especially in the last couple of years, that is changing a little bit. And we're starting, while those things are still present, we are starting to make more space for a little bit more RV-focused vendors.
Well, and certainly at the big shows like the Florida show, there's a ton of RV-focused vendors. And the smaller shows,
it's a little hit or miss.
It can be hit or miss depending on your area and who's there. And what a lot of people don't realize is that those things like the gutters and the hot tubs and the knives and all that sort of stuff, they generally have contracts with the actual arena or the fairgrounds or whatever it is. So whenever there is any type of trade show at those events, they're allowed to come. That's how that works.
And so it makes it harder then, because unless, you know, there's only so much space for vendors. Now at some place like in Florida and Tampa, there, I believe, are like three different large buildings set aside for vendors.
Plus people outside.
I mean, there's so many vendors, but, you know, even in that space, it can be very hard for a new vendor to break in and get a spot, because ultimately you can't create more space. So somebody has to vacate, and, you know, or you've got to shrink down somebody else's space in order to give space to someone new. So make sure to pop in there, because there are a lot of new RV focused vendors that over the last couple of years have been able to get some space at some of these shows. And so it's really important to go in there, and it's nice to be able to put faces to names of products that we use in our RV life, and to meet those people and kind of get to talk to them a little bit. So, you know, take advantage of that for sure.
And as Abby mentioned, we'll be doing seminars and at the Kansas City RV show, and the Florida show has a lot of seminars, great seminars there. And seminars are a great reason to go to an RV show. You can learn from a whole different a whole slew of topics, some of them often given by some of those vendors as well.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be talking all day on Saturday.
Yeah, we are.
Our voices are going to be floating through the entire area all day long. You're not going to be able to miss us. So it'll be fun. It'll be great. So with that said, though, let's get into the heart of this interview, shall we?
Here's my interview with Dave Kelly from the Florida RV Trade Association, hosts of the Great Florida RV Super Show in Tampa, Florida.
Harvest Host is a membership that allows RVers to take a rest from the road and enjoy unlimited overnight stays at over 5,000 unique locations in North America, like breweries, farms, attractions, wineries, and much more. Easily plan and book your next RV trip and enjoy over $1,500 in exclusive member benefits by joining Harvest Hosts. Get 15% off your first year of membership with the code MILES. That's M-I-L-E-S. Go to harvesthost.com to become a Harvest Host member today.
So the Florida RV Super Show is just around the corner, and it's really kind of the biggest RV event of the year. Kicks off the show season, and it's been around for a long time. And we're thrilled today to have Executive Director of the Florida RV Trade Association, who runs the show, Dave Kelly, to talk about all the fun things about the history of the show, how it comes together, and all that. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's just start off with, for folks who've never been, what's the Florida RV Super Show? Why has it become such a cornerstone of the RV calendar every January?
Well, you know, it started out, someone had a brilliant idea 41 years ago to put an RV show in the middle of Florida in the middle of winter, and it just has taken off from there. It's a manufacturer show, so the manufacturers buy the space, and then they appoint the dealers to work their displays. So what you're going to see is just about any and everything that's in the RV industry, direct from the manufacturers on the ground at the fairgrounds.
So let's dive into that a little bit further, of it being a manufacturer-led show, because there aren't many of those at all. And this is kind of a place where a lot of stuff debuts, right?
Exactly right. I mean, they've shown some of the stuff up at the Hershey show, which is in the fall, but from there they kind of make some tweaks to the 26 units, and then by the time they get to our show, they're ready for the marketplace. So it really does kind of kick off the year for the RV industry.
So you started with the FRVTA back in the late 80s. The association and the show were still pretty young. I read somewhere that you one of your first jobs working for the FRVTA was digging post holes for the show, putting up fences. How has the show evolved over your time? What was it like back then? And what point did it really sort of take off to become this big monster that it is?
You know, I started on this is the 41st year of the show. And my first show was the third one that they had put on. We were in one exhibit hall at the fairgrounds. And now we use almost every square foot of over 300 acres at the fairgrounds now for the show. You know, I think just the being in the right place at the right time has kind of helped the show grow. I mean, we have that time of year, all of the campgrounds are full of our snowbird, our winter visitors. And it has just kind of taken off from there as the industry grew. I mean, if you look at a chart kind of of the industry from the late 80s to today, I mean, it just exploded during that 30, 40 year period. And maybe right place, right time. I mean, a lot of these units are built in Elkhart, Indiana. So a trip to Florida mid-January sounds good to a lot of these guys. And it just, you know, I think building it from the informational side, I think from the seminars, from the entertainment, from the venue even, it all just kind of works together. And just over the 41 years has just grown, you know, every year. And now we're having our largest show that we've ever had this year.
There's something about the mix of RVers that are in Florida in January that has the manufacturers and their dealer partners bringing quite a large mix of products to the show as well. I think a lot of people go to their local RV show, which can be great, but generally the products that are there are what's going to sell locally. And from my experience visiting so many different RV shows across the country, that's can be wildly different. You go up to the Pacific Northwest and there's a lot of truck campers and B vans. And here in the Midwest, you go to a show and you might not even see two or three motorhomes. And then you go somewhere like the Florida RV Super Show and you've got just everything.
Well, that's the nice thing about it being a manufacturer show is that almost every single thing that's being produced in the industry, not just in the U.S., but Canada, and we have some international now manufacturers that are going to be exhibiting. So, and it's also, like you said, the attendee is not just Floridians. It's people from all over the East Coast of Florida, because so many of them are down here for the winter anyway. So I think you're right. It's just that combination of all of the products being on the grounds and a great mix of people from all over the Eastern United States has kind of contributed to it just exploding and taking off in size.
So I've always been really interested in how these big RV shows come together on sort of like, you know, in the days leading up to the show, how does it work to get over 1,000 RVs onto the fairgrounds there and, you know, cleaned and they line them up so perfectly, like tip to butt. And how does the organization of that happen?
It certainly doesn't happen by accident. They'll start fairly soon. Manufacturers will start sending units to the fairgrounds for staging. So, I mean, it begins almost a month out where they start staging in the public parking lot. And then once we do the layout, which we'll be working on in the next few weeks, where we mark the spaces, mark the frontage, mark the backs of the spaces so they know where they're at. And then the move-in starts, and it's like, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time, and that's kind of how we do it. You move these things in one at a time. Over the years, it used to be they would just bring them out and start putting them into the display. Now you see them with CAD designs, and they've done their layouts, and they know exactly how they're going to fit together. And it's a real puzzle, and it's real impressive to watch them move in motorhomes, travel trailers, tent campers, truck campers, and put them in the displays and make it so it's easy for the public to walk around and view them. It's a good month long journey, but it even starts before that when the manufacturers pick their display spaces in August. So it's almost a year round process to put the thing together.
That must be really interesting process of getting the manufacturers in the display spaces where they are. And I'm sure there's a lot of drama sometimes surrounding organizing who's going where.
Oh yeah. And we do it so that they, if they've been supporting the show in the past, they'll pick the space in the same order. So a lot of times they will have the same spots, and then there's some movement toward the bottom of the draw order. But, You know, we try to develop the flow of the traffic so there are no bad spots or there are no dead ends in the show. And and that's why I think people keep coming back, is that we do our best to make sure that everybody has a shot at the attendees.
So it can be kind of overwhelming to visit if you've never been to a show this big before. There are a whole lot of RVs and they are all over the place in there. Arranged by manufacturer, which is, I imagine, the only way to do it. But that means you're going to have toy haulers in, you know, in six different areas. You're going to have Class A motorhomes in six different areas. What's some advice that you have for people that are visiting a show like this for the first time?
I would suggest the first stop is our website, frvta.org, and click on the Super Show. And we have an interactive map there that really does a great job of showing you where everyone's going to be in the show. And then you can click on those displays and see what products are going to be in which area. So you're right. It's a big show. We try to let everybody know that that it's you need to come and be organized depending on what you're going to see. If you're looking for motorhomes, if you're looking for trailers, toy haulers, truck campers, kind of get an idea of the layout of the fairgrounds, and that interactive map is a great way to do that. And then you can also download it. We have an app also that you can download and access that interactive map while you're on the ground. So it makes it a lot easier to find your way around and find what you're looking for.
A lot of people are going to the show. They're either just shopping around, getting an idea of what's out there and considering maybe purchasing in the future, maybe upgrading in the future. A lot of people are going because they've heard RV shows are a great place to get a decent deal. And that can certainly be true. And they're looking to buy. They have a plan of the type of stuff they're looking for. They want to buy. What should somebody be prepared for when they're really planning to buy an RV at a show like this? What do they need to have in order beforehand?
Well, I think you need to figure out kind of how and what and why you're going to use it for. If it's going to be long weekends, is it going to be driving across the country? I mean, each RV provides different amenities and different sizes. And are you going to trailer it? Are you going to want something you can drive like a motorhome or a Class C? So I think that's the first point. How you're going to use it, how many days a year are going to use it, how many people are traveling, just you and your husband? Is it going to be you and two or three kids? And then I think, you know, doing your homework from there. The manufacturers all have great websites that show layouts of the different units, not very much unlike buying a home. It's figuring out how much room you're going to need, how much space you want, and kind of how you're going to use it. So pre-planning for things like that, I think once you get there, then it'll make it a lot easier to figure out which units you want to see. And of course, it's fun just to wander around and look at all the different products, but having a good idea which direction you're going in will make the day a lot easier.
The last 6 years or so have been all over the map for the RV industry. We had the huge COVID boom, and I'm sure COVID, of course, affected the show in more ways than one. And then we've had a drop off over the last couple of years. And a lot of people look at the attendance at the Florida RV show as a sort of a big indicator of the year to come. And I don't know how much of that's true, because so much of it could be affected by all sorts of things like the weather. But what's your sense of the last few years, and what are you expecting for this year as far as attendance and crowds?
Well, you know, we even talked about all of the supplier and accessory and vendor booths that we have. We have over 400 booths of different products, accessories, things that make life on the road so much easier. And because we had so much of a boom in the early 20s that we're getting people that now that are coming to get accessories and things for their units as they're using them. So I think we're going to have a good turnout. I think we've we've kind of washed through that big wave that we had in 22 and 23. And I think people are either thinking about maybe time to trade up or to just get more information. And that's the best thing about RV shows is you can come out to a show like this. You don't have the what some people feel are pressures from going to a dealership's lot, and you can see everything in one place. It makes it so much easier to comparison shop.
The vendors is a great point. That's one of my favorite reasons to be at the show. You know, a lot of the local RV shows you go to, I think people get excited about going because they want to go to the vendors and see all that. And often it ends up being just the stuff that's standard at a lot of trade shows, like your hot tubs and your knives and stuff, which of course is going to be there in Florida as well. But you have everybody that is selling RV products, it seems, at the show and in multiple different buildings. And it's always a lot of fun for me to sort of hop around and see what all the vendors have that's new for the year, all sorts of interesting little gadgets from independent manufacturers. And then you've got big folks like Camco with all of their new stuff. And I think that's certainly a big highlight of the event.
Oh yeah. We have a lot of people that come just for that purpose is to look at all the accessories and all the different things that go along with it.
Seminars are a great experience at RV shows. I've given several seminars at shows around the country and attended some of them at the Florida RV Super Show. And you guys really bring out the best of the best and the folks that are presenting there. And I think that's a huge reason for somebody to visit, even if they already own an RV, along with all the products and things that are available. But all these seminars that are not free, you have to pay to get into the show, but on top of your ticket, they're free. Talk to us about seminars.
Yeah, we offer a pretty good range of seminars. We try to hit something for everybody, whether they're just getting started or they're a seasoned RVer. Everything from chassis maintenance to solar power to lithium batteries. A lot of questions recently about lithium and is that the way to go? Medical transport, if you have an emergency on the road while you're traveling. We cover all kinds of different topics. They start at 10 in the morning and they run all day long. And it's a great place to get a lot of information if you're just starting out or if you've had your coach for a year or two. I'm sure you have a lot of questions, and the seminars are a great place to get your questions answered. They do a Q&A at the end, and a very big part of the show, the seminars.
It's also a nice way to get out of the heat or the rain, depending on the day as well.
Yeah, a place to relax and get off your feet.
Well, give us the rundown of how somebody gets ready for coming to the show. What are the dates? What do they need to do in terms of buying a ticket in advance? And when should they come?
Okay, the show is Wednesday through Sunday, January 14th through the 18th at the Florida State Fairgrounds. It's a tremendous location because it's right off of I-4 and I-75. So getting to the show and getting home are very, very easy on and off the interstate. It's $15 for adults. Kids under 16 are free. And for $15, you get a two-day ticket. So come on Wednesday, come back any other day of the show. We understand it's hard to see and shop everything in one day. So
it's impossible.
I wasn't going to use the word impossible, but it's very, very difficult to see it all in one day. So come back any other day of the show. And people really enjoy that part of it, is that they don't feel like they have to be rushed to go through the show. Go to our website, frvta.org, which stands for Florida RV Trade Association, or search Florida RV Super Show. You can buy advance tickets, which would give you $2 off. So that'd be a $13 ticket for a two-day ticket. So you can also pre-purchase your parking. So you park your car, walk right into the show and get started shopping. So hours are 9 to 6 Wednesday through Saturday, and then 9 to 4 on Sunday. So a little bit shorter day on Sunday, but that gives the exhibitors a chance to break down their displays and get to the next show. So a great event, like I said, easy to get to at the Florida State Fairgrounds. Hope everyone can make it.
Well, Abby and I will be there. We'll be there for the industry preview day, but also we'll be there on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So anybody that's heading out there, we hope to see you. And I hope to see you there, Dave, as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Welcome back. And it is time to check the level of our tanks. And that is sponsored by our friends over at Liquefied RV Toilet Treatment, the No BS Toilet Treatment. You can find Liquefied over at liquefiedrv.com. Okay, Jay, what is in your black tank this week?
Oh, boy.
Tuck in, everybody. Here we go.
Well, so we're getting ready for the studio to be close to somewhat finished at some point. And we've been upgrading a few pieces of filming equipment. And I bought this switcher that's we're going to be using multiple cameras here in the future. And it switches between cameras. Not important.
Wow. Gripping. Okay. What's in your fresh tank?
first, I bought it on Amazon. And when I bought it on Amazon, it was like going to be delivered before we left town when I clicked the buy button. Like the dates were going to be, because we're going down to Dallas for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the ship dates seemed fine. But then after I finished the purchase, guess what? You know, it was going to be later. And it was still kind of before up until the day we left. And it was getting classic. Me a little bit nervous.
Classic Amazon.
So I canceled that order, and I went over to a real photo video store that I've worked with in the past, which is part of the problem, B&H Photo, who I think are in New Jersey, and they're really great people. They do a fantastic job. Case in point, it was overnighted for free. Like the free shipping overnighted.
Where was it overnighted,
Jason? Which is amazing. Unfortunately, when I placed the order, apparently the last time I bought something from them, we were at a campground in Florida, and somehow the form auto-populated. Now, I saw the form auto-populate, like the shipping form, like, you know, you put in your credit card info and then you put the shipping address. Mm-hmm. I saw it listed this campground that we haven't been to for quite some time.
We haven't been there since 2022.
Okay. Well,
March of 2022. So it's been a hot minute.
So I saw that and I went through and changed it all because I was like, I'll be reminiscing of that. And I vividly remember changing it all. But you know what happens sometimes with the auto-populated forms? If you note it, if you like, say you missed a zip code somewhere or something like that, it asks you to go back and fix that. And then Google is like, or Chrome is like, when you change that and click on something, then re-auto-populate stuff. I think that's what happened. So when I ended up submitting it, it submitted this address at this campground in Florida. So I thought it was being shipped to our house today. I got a notification that it was being delayed, and then which was not surprising because the weather hasn't been great. But then I got a notification that it was delivered, and I was like, oh. I called Abby and I was like, hey, I got something delivered. And she was like, I'm getting in the shower. I'll go get it later.
It's like, I'm not worried about it.
And because I was here doing that interview with Dave. And I didn't call her back afterwards. And because I came home right after that interview and I'm looking around for it. I can't find it anywhere. And, you know, I'm trying to get onto FedEx and look at the delivery because, you know, they take a photo and then I see it was signed for by somebody with a different last name than me. I'm like, who signed for this thing? What? Is this at somebody else's house?
Where is this?
And then I noticed the address.
And then he crumples to the ground.
Heart just dropped.
He did.
This thing got sent to Florida.
Yep.
So then I figured this must happen often, right? People send stuff to the wrong address often, whatever. So I call up the campground and ask them if they have any idea of what I should do, and I'm happy to, of course, pay for it to be shipped. Mm-hmm. However, they didn't really know, but they did suggest I just call FedEx and see what, you know, FedEx can do. So I call FedEx, and I don't want to be that guy that's complaining about somebody with English as a second language in your call center, but this person, not only could I not really understand them, they could not really understand me, and made a lot of assumptions about what I was trying to. They kept thinking that I was trying to call them because they delivered a package to like my neighbor. Mm-hmm. That was, and then they kept asking for my address, and I was telling them my address, and she was like, well, that's not the address that matches this tracking number. I'm like, I know, that's the problem. I can give you, she almost hung up on me, and she's like, she was in the middle of being like, sorry, I can't do anything for it. I'm like, I know the address that it was, I can give you that address.
I heard you.
I give her that address. She still doesn't completely understand, but she's like, well, you know, I can put a ticket in to escalate this and have somebody else look at it. And I'm like, great, do that. But then it came to the end of, she was like, really, I think you need to contact this shipper because I can't do anything without they have information that you can't give me, is basically what she kept saying.
Even though you paid for it, it's under your name.
It's already been received and everything.
It's already been shipped. It's, yeah.
And so then I tried to call the shipper, and B&H, who are great again, and they close at lunchtime on Fridays, and it was like 1 o'clock. And they're closed on Saturdays too. I think they're Jewish, they're open on Sundays, so I think they're closed for the Sabbath. So they were not answering the phone, So then I sent them an email, but then I go on to FedEx and I'm trying to figure out what I can do. And like, I guess what I can do is have them do a pickup at the campground, but then the campground has to like print out a label and put the label on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm holding off on that, and I'm going to try to contact the shipper, who's, again, B&H does a fantastic job, and I know they'll be all over this. So I was just like, you know what? I think they'll be good on this, and they'll just have FedEx go pick it back up.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's on us, right? I mean, it's on us. It's a comedy of errors. And
but now it's like, now is it going to, after all this, is it now going to arrive while we're out of town?
Probably. Most likely, you know, I mean, go through all of that only to be back exactly where you started with Amazon, you know, however many days ago when you ordered this. Yeah. I mean, it's really like, you're such a, first off, you hate when you have to call anybody. Just the fact that you had to like call and try to talk to someone, it is the most uncomfortable thing for you. And you're so just like even keeled all the time. Like you never get ruffled. And I was on the phone with my brother and I was helping him with some stuff. And I'm going through that, and I'm like trying to figure that portion out with my brother Jason. So there's Abby's talking to Jason, and
he ships stuff all the time. Like because he's a tour manager, he's gone to different. Surely he's dealt with something like this where he sent something to the wrong hotel or something.
That's what he said. You just have to create a new ship. He said to me, like, tell him to treat it like an absolutely new package. Don't treat it like it went to the wrong place.
What I'm probably going to have to do. If B&H can't deal with it for me. But I was like, he was trying to deal with his healthcare with you. And I was interrupting, like, no, help me with my problem.
So he's calling me because he wants me to like just kind of look over his healthcare plan because he was on, you know, trying to take care of that. And he was like, can you walk through? I just want to make sure I'm understanding the language right and whatever. And so then at the same time, this guy's like, no. What's really important right now is my FedEx.
Well, the other issue, the worst part of all of this was, I'm trying to go online on FedEx's website to deal with this. And we clearly have a FedEx account or two. I have three email addresses. We have our sort of joint editor at RV Miles email address. Mm-hmm. Then I have a work email address and I have a personal email address. Yeah. At least two of those have a FedEx account.
One of them is probably from your old theater days.
So the way I found that out is I go to create a new account and it says at the very end of the process, you already have an account. But then when I go to do the password reset for that account, it sends me an email saying that I don't have an account.
Listen,
both of them.
I knew that this was not a situation I wanted to be a part of because this guy was at like a 10. So I would look over and he just would, his head would be on the back of the chair and he would just be looking up at the sky.
When that happened, I had gone through three times. I'm on my phone doing this and I created a new account and each time it would be like, sorry, there was a problem. And then wipes out of it. What is happening? So then I go into the email. It's created the account three times. It's just saying that there is an error. But then when you get into the FedEx account, if you want to ship something, the FedEx account is not a FedEx shipping account. No. You have to then go on the way. You can't do this in the app now. You have to go on the website and create a FedEx shipping account, which requires you to put it in a credit card. Now, normally when I put a credit card in on any given website, it autofills from my past usage of credit cards, which autofilling is what got us into the problem here in the first place. I understand that.
I don't know that autofilling is a good idea for you.
It wasn't doing that. So then I had to go get the credit card info and fill it all out, and all to no avail.
Friends, just know that while all this was going on, I asked one time, is there anything I can do to help you? And he said, no, I'm fine. I said, okay. And I proceeded to plop my butt down in a chair in front of my puzzle. And I was like, I'm just going to do my puzzle while this man. And I was cooking with gas on that puzzle. I got so much.
And then I was finally done. I was like, okay, it's time to go. And you're like, okay, hold on. I just got to make my sourdough.
I forgot.
You've not been making your sourdough all this time.
It's like, oh, wait, we can't go. I got to get my sourdough starter because I'm making bread on Sunday and I forgot I got to start it on a Friday. So then I was like, hold on, I got to do my sourdough starter. And then we get here and I'm like, wait. I got to go over to this boutique really quick. They're open. I got to go over there. It's just been a comedy of errors all day. It's Friday. You all know how it is on Friday. Your brain is just done. So it's been a comedy of errors since the day started. What, though, is in your fresh tank for this week?
My fresh tank is, so as I alluded to at the beginning of the show, it's sort of about this situation that's happened at Camping World. Big news. Mm-hmm. Marcus Lemona, CEO of Camping World, is stepping down at the end of the year. And I covered that on the Monday news story. And then
that's not his fresh tank. Everyone's expecting like confetti to start flying and like,
and then
on the fresh tank part.
On Thursday, I did our sort of monthly comments response video on the RV Miles channel. And as I mentioned, I was fidgeting
your way through
and
it.
And part of it was, and I said in this video, I'm a little nervous to bring up this subject because it's something that people got kind of angry with me about last time. Last time I brought this up, I think like 2 years ago, something mm-hmm. like that. The issue that's been going on with Camping World and their run-ins with some of the cities that they end up with lawsuits over their ginormous flags. Mm-hmm. So the American flags in their parking lots that are often twice the size of the flagpole that the code allows. The flag is much bigger than the code allows, and then they get fined by the city, and the city's trying to take them down. Meanwhile, the whole purpose of this entire thing was just to dare a city to get them to take it down because, oh, city's making me take a flag down. That's a news story that I can go talk about on CNN, right? And mm-hmm. and that's been the case. It's happened half a dozen times at least. And I'm not going to get into, in this episode, all of my thoughts on that because I did that on that video. So go check that video out if you're interested in that. But I was nervous about bringing up my thoughts on that because, you know, there is an issue that we have all had here for the last since social media began, really, mm-hmm. where we're all sort of, we feel like we have our teams and it's getting worse, and we have to say everything in lockstep with our teams. We have to check to make sure that the thing we think is what our team thinks, and talking politically here. And
no, no, you're really shocking.
And I very, very strongly feel that we can all have independent thoughts on a variety of issues and not agree with 100% everything that XYZ politician or political party believes. And, you know, we, the people, should be driving what some of the political parties that we are affiliated with believe. And I was just very nervous about some of the things that I wanted to say in that video. And it's a fresh take here because I've just been so pleasantly surprised by all of the DMs I've received from people from across the political spectrum saying, hey, I completely agree with you on that. Or even if I don't 100% agree with you, I really appreciate you talking about your own beliefs in an eloquent way and supporting those things with facts and thoughts. And I don't know if maybe our channel is self-selecting, like some of the wackos are. I actually had a harder time finding because normally I like to put a few wacko comments in those videos, and I had a harder time finding them this time. But I think I think it's a discourse that is missing. I'm not talking about what I'm saying, but what people in the comments are saying that is missing from our public discourse. And I was really sort of enamored with some of the comments on that video. And so I want to thank you all so much for that, but also, let's keep doing that.
Yeah, more of that, please. Yeah. Like here on this channel, on this show, let's have those kinds of conversations, and let's have fun conversations too. Let's just have conversation.
It doesn't need to be the life or death at the end of the world.
No. Hmm. And you know what? We can be fluid humans that have thoughts on different things, and we don't
change our minds.
We can't. Yes. I mean, I changed my mind on asparagus one day.
And, not on and green beans though.
Not on green beans. That casserole. Yeah. That casserole is still garbage. No matter what y'all try to tell me. I'll probably never change my mind on celery, but I will.
Your issue with celery is.
I am well known for it now in the theater homeschool community. The one thing
you were known about in the Quad Cities is your celery.
I'm known in many circles.
Your fear of your phobia. It's not.
It's a distrust. Don't trust celery. I don't trust it. I don't trust anything that looks like your hair, and has no flavor, and stinks. But it also has no flavor. How can something smell and also at the same time have no flavor? I don't understand it.
It smells great and tastes great. And I hate vegetables. Listen, and I think I love celery.
The only way you're going to get people to eat it is if you tell them it's ants on a log. Get out of here with that nonsense. Man, like, come on now. Get out of here.
I don't need the ants, but the peanut butter and celery.
Nonsense. The best way you can get a kid to eat celery is to tell them that they put ants on a log. That's the level at which celery has to operate at. Come on.
Fruit and a vegetable all in one? Come on.
Get your dried fruit. You get your protein. You get your hair vegetable. It's great. No, I don't know how we got on that subject, but that's fantastic.
Maybe that can be your black tank, because I know you don't have one this week. So
I don't.
So what's in your fresh tank this week?
I have a few fresh tanks I'm just going to go through. I don't have a black tank this week because it's been been a pretty good week.
Other than all the stuff that's happened today.
I mean, Jason covered a big chunk of it. Celery, I guess I can black tank that. But a few fresh tanks I want to share. First off, I want to congratulate our son, Jack, on finishing his first semester of college. He finished his very last sort of like full week today. He'll finish up just one couple things on Monday, but he has now turned in exams and he has finished, and we couldn't be more proud of Jack.
It's such a big step for a school kid, too.
I mean, just for a kid in general, yeah. It's a huge step. You go from an environment that I think is a little bit more controlled, a little bit more hands-on to the student, and then you toss them into this whole other world. And, you know, it's the same thing, making that jump from elementary into high school. Yeah, and then you'd make that jump from high school into college. And
whiplash. Yeah. It's just, it's wild, like, what we expect them to.
Yeah.
Because high school, even if you go to a traditional high school, it's entirely different than college.
Absolutely. It's just a new transition. And so he walked through it. The kid only missed 2 days of school all year long.
And they were planned.
And they were planned. And one of them was because we were going up to that film festival. And so I'm very proud of him. We all picked him up today. Like, we all dropped him off on his first day. So we all picked him up today. We told him he could go anywhere he wanted for lunch. We were all taking him out to celebrate. I'm going to give you all three guesses as to where Jack went. The first two don't count. Tell me why we went to Chili's. We went to Chili's.
It was great.
He could have gone.
It was
anywhere.
Still expensive.
Oh, and you, I saw you leaving a, did you leave a comment again?
No, I didn't. Okay, I left. Yeah, no, I did. The, I did like the survey to do like the great. For the server because she was great.
But he wanted to go to Chili's. It's expensive because Ethan's like, how about you hook me up with them steak and chicken fajitas over there and can I get the side of queso? And I was just like,
how about the lunch special? It's a Friday. It's a weekday after. This is why we homeschool. Jason, so we can take advantage of like the lunch specials.
I was like, Jason, you want to share me? Cut down.
I was going to get a steak, and Abby was like, do you want to share an appetizer?
She wanted to share an appetizer.
Then she goes and orders queso.
The kids wanted queso. We were celebrating. No, Jack.
Jack didn't want queso, first of all. And you kept going, hey, who wants queso? Does anyone, you guys want queso, right? Queso?
I'm a sucker for queso. Now. I'm such a sucker for queso.
Sure, but I mean, those chips, the thing.
Well, it's the bottomless.
The thing that all of a sudden, somebody made clear to me that I had never really realized, even though it's obvious when you know it, that tortilla chips, four of them is one tortilla.
No, it's not. It is.
You cut a tortilla two ways. You know, this small corn tortillas.
Can you specify, please? What kind of corn?
Well, it's a corn tortilla.
Like, are we talking a 6, an 8, a 10, a 12, 14, 20?
A regular small size corn tortilla. You cut that two ways. That's four chips. You eat 20 chips, and you have eaten five tortillas.
And I regret nothing.
That are fried.
I regret nothing, Jason.
And which is fine, and I love tortilla chips, but when we sit down at a restaurant like that, and I'm so hungry, and they're bottomless, I just keep eating them.
I know. Well, it's a good thing you and I shared a meal. That's how it works out. My other fresh tank is...
We share an appetizer platter, which is not splitting a meal. It's just the same number of calories.
We're doing so good. We're doing so good on that, like, gonna get healthier thing. It's working out really well for us. My other fresh tank is this game I want to recommend that we've really been enjoying. It's very easy to learn. It's great for a few people or a big group, and it's called Hues and Cues. And our son turned us onto this. Ethan did. He really wanted it. And so it's been one of those games where you can sit down and you can play it for 10 minutes. You could play it for 30 minutes. You could play it for an hour if you want. But it's really simple to learn, but incredibly hard.
Yeah.
To win. Although Jason and Henry tend to have it locked in.
It probably depends on how good your eyesight is, I guess.
But. But it basically what it is like you draw a card, and on that card is four different colors. And the board itself is the...
So like a whole spectrum of colors.
It's a whole spectrum of colors. Yeah. You draw this card and you have four colors and you pick one of the colors off the card. And you get to give two clues. The first clue you give to everyone, you can only use one word. So let's say I draw a card that's like orange. And I could say pumpkin. And then everybody else has to take their piece and they have to put it on the color that they think represents pumpkin.
And you can't use a color in the name.
No,
so you can't
you
say
just
like
say
seafoam green. You
right.
could say seafoam.
But you can't say green.
Yeah.
So I could say pumpkin. And then the next one is you can give another clue. And then that time it can be two words. So maybe I would say, you know, I don't even know what I would say for two words. I'd say creamsicle, and
well, yeah, say
juice if, say or something, you know.
If it was a brick color, you know, you might say, or if it was like a, if it was like a dark red color, you might say brick, and then you might say fire engine or something sure. like that.
So it's this way to, you know, and then again, they get to take their next piece and they get to put it on there. And so, and eventually then you're going to reveal where it is on the color board and you score points off that. But incredibly easy to teach for a group to learn.
I love that because I...
Jason always gets assigned as like the one who has to read all the instructions. I'm the one
that reads the directions, but I'm also the one... It's good for me because I'm the one that also zones out when somebody's reading me instructions.
Yes, that's why.
But I also get mad at people when they zone out when I'm reading the instructions.
I know. You should have seen him the other night trying to teach us all how to play Uno No Mercy.
Uno No Mercy.
And we were just like, mm-mm.
Listen,
we're not going to get all of this. He's like, no, there's this card and this card and this card and this card. And by the fifth, like, special card, I had just checked out and was like, I'll just look at the instructions because this is
There are a lot of special cards in Uno No Mercy. But it is No Mercy, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so, and then that was another suggestion I was going to fresh tank too. That's a really fun play on Uno. We laughed a lot. So if you've got the holidays coming and you've got a group coming over, or you're hosting some people, or you've got people that really love games, these are really fun ones that aren't that, I mean, if you know Uno, you've kind of got the bulk of how to play the game. Just, you know that you're going to have some extra, which is quite fun. Like, you know, draw tens and all these other, you know, just it's a ton of fun. And there's a lot of laughs that happen from it. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
That's it for this week's episode of the RV Miles podcast.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for joining us. And just a reminder, if you are enjoying RV Miles, we hope that you will head over to Apple Podcasts, maybe leave us a 5-star review, write a little something in there. What is it about the show that you're enjoying? Or if you're watching this on YouTube, please take a moment to like and subscribe to this channel, or think about sharing an episode that you really enjoyed with your social community. And then, of course, if you want more of these shenanigans and you want some behind-the-scenes stuff with Jason and I, you want some live streams and maybe a little discount here and there from some of our preferred brands, things of that nature, we hope you'll become a Mile Marker member. And please help support independent RV journalism, because that's really what we're doing over here, not only on this channel where we're providing some entertainment and some laughs, but then over on our other RV Miles channel. We really are trying to be an independent voice for you, the RVer. And those mile markers are helping make that possible each and every week. So please consider joining. You can head over to rvmiles.com/milemarkers to learn more. And until next week, friends, please stay safe, stay healthy. Do not eat celery. Stop supporting big celery.
Twerk.
And keep logging those RV miles.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.